Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. The deets are online at offbeatoregon.com, so please do check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the only sitting U.S. senator killed in battle. That would be Oregon Senator Edward Dickinson Baker, better known as Ned, close personal friend of President Lincoln and a formidable public speaker. If he hadn't been killed, he might very well have become president after the war. And here's the interesting part. Without his influence, Oregon might very well have sided with the South. Could be a very different place today if that had happened. This story was first published on April 10th of 2011 under the headline, "Only Sitting U.S. Senator Killed in Battle Was from Oregon, Sort of." Here we go. For the forces of the North, October of 1861 was the darkest part of the Civil War. For the Union troops trying desperately to storm up a steep, treeless face of Ball's Bluff in Virginia one particular day, it was especially so. The river was at their backs, the rebels were in front of them, and they were like a main course in an all-you-can-shoot buffet. Seeing the survivors' courage beginning to waver, their colonel came to the front to encourage them. And his uniform recognized, he went down in a fusillade of rebel gunfire. And that was the end of Senator Edward Dickinson Baker of Oregon, the only sitting U.S. senator to ever die in battle. Hardly anybody knows about Baker, but some historians consider him the most important figure in Oregon's Civil War history. Without him, the entire West Coast might have ended up joining the cause of the South. And yet Baker wasn't really an Oregonian at all, or if he was, only just barely. Baker was born in Great Britain, but emigrated to the U.S. when he was only 5. His family was Quaker, but as an adult he joined the Disciples of Christ Church, although the Civil War tempted many devout friends to stray from their commitment to the Sixth Commandment, Baker had a real un-Quakerly taste for military action. He also had a really unusual gift for public speaking, so it was probably no surprise when he became an attorney. Baker ended up in Springfield, Illinois, at the same time another young attorney, Abraham Lincoln, was practicing there. The two became great friends, both committed to the cause of ending slavery. A few years later, during the Gold Rush years, Baker brought his law practice to San Francisco. Like so many others, he loved the place and didn't want to leave, but by the end of the 1850s, it was becoming clear that he'd have to. If he ever wanted to be elected to national public office, it would not be in California. The state was firmly Democratic, and the Democrats at that time were the party of the South, and a solid pro-slavery attorney would never consider joining the Democratic Party at that time. So Baker accepted the Oregon Republican Party's invitation to come up north and help them save the new state from the clutches of the soft-on-slavery Democrats, led by Oregon Senator Joseph Lane. Baker set up housekeeping on the campus of Willamette University in Salem. 8 months later, he was elected to the U.S. Senate. During those 8 months, though, Baker was a busy man. He traveled tirelessly around the state, giving speeches in support of his friend Lincoln. He must have been pretty good at this. Joseph Lane himself was running as vice president on the Southern Democratic Party ticket and had blithely assumed that Oregon would follow his leadership into secession if it came to that. But on election day, Oregon went for Lincoln. Lane wasn't even able to deliver his own state. As if to add insult to injury, the Oregon State Legislature then elected Baker to the U.S. Senate. He became Oregon's junior senator, with Lane as the senior senator. So not only did Lane get handed a stinging defeat by this upstart crow, he then suddenly had to accept him as a congressional colleague to boot. Lane was so furious he refused to introduce Baker in the Senate, as was the usual protocol. In his book, historian Elijah Kennedy makes a strong case that Lane's pique was understandable. His plans had involved delivering the entire West Coast to the South, or possibly having it secede on its own as a, quote, Pacific Republic, Without Baker's wildly successful oratory barnstorming tour, Kennedy says, this would have happened. And Kennedy was there at the time, living in California, so his opinion carries some weight. It's tempting to wonder what would have happened if Baker had survived the war. By all accounts, the man was one of the best speakers of the century. When he started his barnstorming tour of the state, most of its 52,000-odd residents thought of him as an imported interloper, or what Southerners would, a few years later, call a carpetbagger. By the time he finished giving speeches in Astoria, the Dalles, Roseburg, and places in between, they mostly didn't care about that anymore. By all accounts, he was amazing, blessed with a freakish ability to remember people's names and a natural touch on the podium. He was on the side that won the war. He was one of Lincoln's closest friends. What might he have gone on to accomplish? Would he have gone on to become Oregon's first presidential native son? Or rather, stepson? It sure seems possible. Likely, even. Today, Baker is buried in San Francisco, and there's a statue of him in the Capitol Rotunda in Washington, D.C. Like his old nemesis, Joseph Lane, he has an Oregon county named after him, as well as a city. Lane County is on the extreme west side of the state. Baker County on the extreme east. There's a big mountain range between them. Both men probably would have liked it that way. Well, that's it for today's episode, and if you're listening for the first time and want some more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. The complete catalog of about 200 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed in case you'd like to join the conversation. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which for today's episode include works by Elijah Kennedy, Ann Vanderhoff, William C. Boyd, and an article in the Oregon Historical Quarterly. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and we'll talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. This podcast is proudly part of the Creative Commons. The license is Attribution Share Alike. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Well, that's it for today. Tomorrow we'll talk about the California Gold Rush, which was kicked off by a discovery made by a farmer from Oregon. Look for that after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And in the meantime, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.